So that's why these are out. There's two more to come, Lord willing, if I don't quit. And you'll get that later. So thank you again for being here tonight. Let's open God's Word, if you would, please. Man, I appreciate this, man. At 7:20, we're up to bat. This is great. I preached last night about Paul preaching till midnight. I think our kids were horrified at our church, like, I hope the pastor doesn't get any ideas. And so I was like, you got to be kidding. So we will not be here to midnight. Pastor said, these meetings usually don't go any past 10:30. That's what he said. And yeah, that's right. Yeah. I hope you all have a good time. And so if you have a Bible, let's open them, please. We're in John 21. John chapter number 21. We're going to look at a passage here. John 21. Let's find out. Who is new the last 3 years? You were not here last time I was here. Nope. Wow. Good for you. Good to see some of the older faces still here. And then it sure is good to see some new faces here too as well. Thanks for sending some kids to Bible college too. You got some good kids there, and they've been a blessing to our college, and you'd be very proud of them. Well, I've got to show you the new track. This is new since we were here last. That's our new church track. How do you like that? We used to have one, and it just had these faces on it, but we wanted one that kind of looked like Napa Valley, where we're from. So it's got the vineyards, got the hot air balloon there, and we have a lot of those. So we just printed 50,000 of these. I took my first one, and I'm heading into 7-Eleven. I'm getting a soft drink. I'm out soul winning. And now, I don't know if this is true, Brother Collins, but Brother Johnson, there was a lady, she had that dot on her forehead. And so I'm assuming she was Hindu or something like that. I don't know if they have that here in Lompoc. Do they have people like that who have the dots on their forehead? Anyway, Brother Johnson told me it means when you get married, the husband scratches that off and sees if he won a 7-Eleven or a gas station. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's what Brother Johnson said. That's what he said. I would never say that. But anyway, I had the gospel tract, and I'm running through 7-Eleven, and I said, here, give you something to read. And I'm heading out the door. And the lady says, how much? And I said, no, it's free. I'm the pastor down the street, just this invitation to church. I started to leave. She said, how much? And I said, no, ma'am, look, it's free. Here it is. You can have it. She goes, how much? I said, what do you mean? She says, how much to ride the balloon? How much to ride the balloon? I said, we can't even give out a track in our city, right? About that time, I switched soul winning shoes. I was at a youth conference, and someone gave me a set of these Air Jordans to wear. I've never had nice tennis shoes. I always get those 1995 discounted Big Five brand X Chinese something mismatched or something. But Air Jordans, I didn't know they were such a big deal. So, Pastor, I've got flat feet, so I preach in dress shoes, but I visit in tennis shoes. And the first week I knocked on a door with those shoes. Kid you not, someone says, I said, I'm the pastor from, and they looked at me and looked at my shoes. Jordans! Cool! You're the pastor? Come on in! I've led 5 people to Christ because of my tinny shoes. So what we're going to do, we want everyone to take your shoes off tonight, bring them in. We're going to bring in a truckload of Air Jordans. No, that's the way to win the world. It's your tinny shoes. I knocked on the door, I think it was last summer. And I was visiting by myself in a certain neighborhood. Any Filipino people here? You speak Tagalog? You speak Tagalog? Okay, do you eat lumpia? Okay, I do too. All right, well, that's all that matters. But anyway, they speak Tagalog, of course, over there. You're a Filipino. If you're a man, Filipina. If you're a woman. And then if you're a horse, you're a Palomina. Okay, so something like that. But I knocked on this door, and this Filipino lady answered the door. And as soon as she opened the door, now, this has never happened. You're going to be shocked it's never happened before. But as soon as she opened the door, I said, I'm the pastor from. And she said, you. I said, yes, ma'am. You are the most handsome specimen of a man I have seen in a long time. And I'm just standing there. She says, would you like to come in? I said, no, better not. I came home and I told my wife, I said, I just want you to know what they're saying on the other side of the tracks about your husband. I told her that, and then for months, I'd walk in the room, she'd say, you are the most handsome specimen of a man I've seen all day. All day. And so that's kind of where that comes in. So anyway, it is fun serving the Lord. And if you're involved in church and working with people, there's never a dull moment. If you're bored, it's because you're not helping anybody. If you help someone, you'll be full of stories. Look, someone's already walking out. Come get saved. Come get saved. Revival's right. Look, he won't let her in. Look. Just, yeah. You know. Okay. So now I'm in trouble. But John chapter 21. John 21. And let's look at this one short passage here tonight, and then we'll get right into the message. John 21. Here's the background of the story. Jesus has risen from the dead. But before that, Simon Peter opened his mouth, stuck his foot in. He said, though all men will deny you, I won't. All the rest of those guys, they'll deny you. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, really? You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. And you know the story. Jesus is being held at trial. The rooster crows, and the Bible says, and Jesus looked at Simon Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He blew it. He quit. He was discouraged. You know the story. And so notice here, please, in John 21, and let's stand in honor of God's word, if you can, only if you can. John 21, in verse number 1, it says, after these things, that's the things we just described, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus. That's because he was a twin. That's where we get the word ditto from, Didymus. See it? Okay. Wasn't funny. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, nothing is wrong with fishing, but Simon Peter's business before he followed Jesus was a commercial fisherman. That's what he did for a living. So when Peter said, I'm going fishing, what he was saying was, I'm going back to the fishing business. I quit. I tried the ministry. I couldn't do it. I blew it. I failed. I'm done. Be careful what you say out loud. Your children hear you. Other people hear you. Be careful. You're influencing someone. So he said, I quit. And then notice what happened next. It said, Simon Peter said, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. So we're going to quit too. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You never have anything to show for a backslidden life. I never had anyone say, Pastor, can I give a testimony and tell you how great it's been 10 years out of the will of God? Let me brag about it. No. We never want to talk about the wasted years. And most of us have some. Most of us have some time that we wasted. And so he says here, they caught nothing, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Why did he call them children? Because they were acting like a bunch of children. Have ye any meat? Did you catch anything? They answered him, nope. People get very sharp when they're backslidden. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know the story. Let's pray. Father, bless now this brief time we have. Thank you for the crowd assembled tonight in honor of thy word. We ask that you take your word and these truths tonight, drive home a thought to us that would help us. We ask that you'd just be, just swallow up the message with truth and victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here it is. So I finally get to speak in Alaska. It's the sportsman's paradise. You can hunt moose. You can hunt caribou. You can catch fish. You can catch the 380-pound halibut. You can catch maybe the world record 95-pound king salmon. What a place to go. I get invited to speak there. I'm dreaming. I'm looking at all the magazines. King salmon, 5 feet long. World's record. Kenai River, greatest salmon river. I'm saying, I'm going to spend some time fishing. So I remember, I got a pole. Someone said, just go right down to the riverbank, and here's the lure they're catching them on. They're catching silvers right now, 15, 20 pounds, big silvers. And you just flip the hook. You just flip the lure. You just kind of flip it. It just goes downstream. Flip it. It goes downstream. I said, I got it. So I've got that that pole, and I'm just waiting for the big one to get on my line. I flip it, and it's going downstream. I flip it. It's going downstream. The guy next to me catches one. The guy over here catches one. I'm flipping it, and it's going downstream. And I'm flipping it. It's going downstream. Person across the river catches one. I'm flipping it. It's going downstream. He catches the second one. I flip it. It's going downstream. He catches one. She catches one. I'm flipping mine. It's just going downstream. I'm looking. Same bait. I'm looking at the wrist. Same kind of flip. I move my hat. Chewing the same kind of tobacco, and I flip. No, not really. This guy leaves. I go back over to his spot, and now I'm flipping it over here, and someone gets my spot, and they catch one right where I was. And I'm flipping it, and I'm flipping it. I'm there for 3 hours. I don't catch one fish. I've seen dozens caught. Excuse me. And finally, I just say, I'm done. I start walking back to the truck, going down the trail, and I hear an old Alaskan man say, he said, hey, man. You got to put your time in. He said, you hadn't been here long enough. He said, the river's full of fish. It's just a matter of time till they see your bait. It's just a matter of time till you catch one. He said, you just got to keep your pole in the water. I didn't catch any fish, but I said, that'll preach. And I took out my pen. I said, at least I got a sermon out of that. Just keep the pole in the water. That's what happened to Simon Peter. They had fished all night. They had taken their nets. They had put them on the boat. They said, we're done. There's no fish here. Jesus said, put your net back in the water. And when he put that net back in he put the net back in the water. Then that's when they caught the fish. What's he talking about here? He's talking about faithfulness. The word faithful means constant, without defect, loyal, strict performance of vows. The Bible says, but a faithful man, who can find? He says, a faithful man abounds with blessings. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Hey, Noah, you've worked on the ark 100 years. Just keep your pole in the water. Hey, Caleb, you've looked for the promised land 40 more years. Just keep your pole in the water. Hey, Samuel, the preacher's kids are going to the devil. You just serve the Lord. Keep your pole in the water. Hey, teenager, whose parents don't come to this church, keep your pole in the water. Hey, single mom, single dad that's trying to raise some good kids, just with God's help, keep your pole in the water. Senior citizen, who the best years of your life have already passed, just stay in this church and keep your pole in the water. The blessings are just upstream. Remember years ago, we had 3 sons. We still do, but they're different looking. And our boy Jonathan, I think, was about 4 and a half, maybe 5 years of age. We had identical twins. Why did you have identical twins? Because they looked alike. And they were maybe 2 years of age. And I don't know how it happened, but my wife said something like, these kids are driving me up a wall. Can you take them out of the house and do some dad thing with them? We don't live on a farm. We don't live on a ranch. We're in the city. What do you want us to do? Dodge cars. Let's run out on the highway. We have an old nasty river called the Napa River. It's brown. Sometimes it flows upstream. Sometimes it flows downstream, that brackish water. You would find maybe a tire in it, maybe a grocery cart. Maybe a drunk drove his car and rolled it over and there's a car there. You may find a dead carp, not carps, but sometimes maybe a corpse too. And something dead floating, beer cans, just a nasty river. No one takes a vacation and gets a beach towel and lays next to the Napa River. So my boy Jonathan, someone gave him a little Snoopy fishing pole. You've seen them. One pack does all. It's a little Snoopy pole. It's not Zebco 202. I think it's Zebco 101. It's got 2 hooks, 1 little lure, 1 little bobber, and there it is. Go fishing. We had 1 frozen anchovy sardine in the freezer. I said, there's my bait. Let's go. We'll go fishing. So I've got 2 twins, and they're in diapers, and got my little boy, 5 years of age, Jonathan. We're going to catch a fish. We're going to catch a fish. I said, no, but we're going fishing. And so we came to the Napa River. Here's one guy over here. He's Filipino. I say, hey, how you doing? Me no know English. So he doesn't speak. Here's a couple guys over here smoking dope. One was Casey, and I forget the other's name. But over there smoking dope. And about that time, I said, all right, here's the sardine. And here it is, and it maybe 20, 25 feet, it just zoop, and then dropped on top of the water. I said, we're fishing. And I put the pole down about that time, the twins, potty. We need to go potty. I said, we're on the riverbank. There is no potties. There's no place to go to the bathroom. My son Jonathan, Dad, are we going to catch a fish? I said, Jonathan, I don't even know. Here's the twins. One of them's diaper starting to come off. About that time, that pole starts moving. I'm thinking, what kind of fish would bite on a Snoopy pole, a dead frozen anchovy? Sure enough, that pole is zipping down. Some fish had swallowed that sardine. I grabbed the pole. Now it's bending and moving. I said, unbelievable. About that time, we got to go potty. I said, no. And I said, sir, do you have a net? He said, net, me no net. These guys over here, one of them was over here smoking drugs. And Jonathan, Dad, I got a fish. I said, you got a fish? I'm trying to watch the twins. My son, don't lose my fish. He's splashing in the water and leaping out of the water. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. And I've got that pole. I'm reeling. He's taking a line out. It's about a 3-foot incline. I get on my hands and knees. I'm now in my stomach. I've got the pole up. Who knows where the twins are? Jonathan, don't, Daddy, don't lose my fish. I put my thumb in that fish's mouth. I put the other hand in his gills. I'm at this kind of an angle. I slid into the river. So now I'm treading water with this fish like this. The Filipino guy is watching me. My twins, they're on the bank by themselves. Dad, don't lose my fish. They don't care if I'm drowning. Just don't lose the fish. My tracks are floating up out of the pocket. They're now floating on top of the water. Fish are swimming up, reading the tracks, getting saved, baptizing themselves. I throw the fish on the bank. It's a 6.5-pound striped bass. One lesson. If you're going to catch the fish, you got to keep the pole in the water. We have a lady in our church. So here's the message tonight. I think you already kind of figured it out. Just keep your pole in the water. Let me see. No, I'm not going to throw that out at you. I did that one time. Three ladies fainted. Just keep your pole in the water. We have a lady in our church. She's from Boston. She parks the car in the yard. Her name is Marilyn. She sits over here. Got saved later in life. Sometimes I'll preach, and if the men don't amen, I'll say, and that's the truth. And Marilyn will say, been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Just right in the middle of church, she'll say that. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Got something better than that. Been there, still there. Hey, I've been in church, I'm still there. I've been married, still married. I've been in the Bible, still believe the Bible. Been out soul winning, still out soul winning. We have a man in our church. Casey asked me tonight. His name is Brother Steve Guzman. The most common question I have asked me in 26 years of being the pastor is this. Brother Steve still there? He has driven a bus for over 30 years. He's taught junior church. He has preached in junior church. There's a whole generation of people that have now grown up. Now they're sending their kids to our church or bringing them. Brother Steve was their junior church pastor. Now he's their kids' junior church pastor. And I can knock on a door in Napa and I can say, I'm the pastor from. They'll interrupt and they'll say, Brother Steve still there? I say, yeah, he's still there. I can go to Vallejo, 16 miles away, another town. Hello, I'm the pastor from. Excuse me. Is Brother Steve still there? Yeah, he's still there. I can go 26 miles away to Fairfield. I'm the pastor from, excuse me, is Brother Steve still there? Yes, he's still there. I happen to think if I went to China and says, is Brother Steve still there? That's what they would say to me. If I went to Mars, the little Martians would ask if he was still there. You know, I'm glad that I can look those people in the eye and say the man that was there 30 years ago still believes the same. He's not quit. He's still there. Brother Steve's still there. The simple concept, you can't catch fish if the pole's not in the water. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. One of the great attributes that's common among independent Baptist churches is this. The pastor has stayed a long time. Jack Treber, 35 years. Bob Gray in Florida, 35 years. Jack Hiles in Indiana, 35 years. Joe Boyd, evangelism, 70 years in evangelism. Kevin Wynn in Mexico City, 30 years. Rick Martin in the Philippines, 35 years. 35 years. I'm just saying, I'm just letting him know. 25 more to go. Even if the rapture takes place, we want you to be here. Great churches are built by members who stay. They're built by pastors who stay. They're built by workers who stay. You say, well, Pastor Ray, why would someone take their pole out of the water? Why would someone do it? I want to give you the reasons. Number one, sometimes discouragement. Discouragement. We just get discouraged. We get discouraged. His brother Hiles, years ago, he had pastored in Texas. He moved to Indiana, and it was so different for him, a southerner in the Yankee town. He was discouraged. He even brought a box of dirt from Texas and set it in his office. He missed it so bad. He had some battles in his church. One man of God said, Brother Hiles, I'd like to take you out to breakfast. I'd like to have a word with you. He took him out to breakfast, didn't say a word during the whole meal. Finally, at the end of the meal, he paid for the breakfast. He said, I told you I'd like to have a word with you. He faced him and he said, stay! And then he left. That was the word. He stayed and built a great church. He kept his pole in the water. Discouragement. Maybe you heard about the fella. He was taking final exams. He was a college student. Any college kids here? College kids here? Okay, a few. Got kicked out of college. Raise your hand. Hate college. Almost went to college. Knew someone that went to college. He had studied. He had studied all night. He had one of these zoology classes, the study of animals. He had studied for many hours. He was ready for every question the professor could ask. The final exam, the professor got a table and he put three birds on the table with a sack around them so you could only see their feet and legs. He said, the final exam is write down the three family types that these three birds are from. College student was so disgusted and so discouraged, he'd studied all night. Now he sees three birds with bags over their heads. He throws down his pencil and says, I'm out of here. This is stupid. He storms out of the room and the professor said, hold it, young man. Hey, you can't leave like that. What's your name? The guy just turned around in front of the professor, pulled up his pants and said, you guess. You ever been kind of there? He was just discouraged. Some of you will be dreaming about this tonight. You'll say, what? We had a building project. It was just going to last 7 months. First thing we had to do was tear out all the bathrooms. So we had to get porta-johns. We had four of them. We named them St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. What a little saying at church, go before you come. We decorated those little porta-johns. 7 months turned into a year and a half. I'll never forget how joyful those ladies were when finally we finished the building and those bathrooms were open. They actually had a drawing to see who could flush the first toilet. If you won, you got to push the lever. I've never seen anything like it, Pastor. The ladies were gathered around a restroom. They're all giddy. And as they flushed it, oh, it sounds so beautiful. They had a ribbon cutting ceremony. You ever get discouraged? It took longer than what we thought. I've been there. I remember when we had a youth conference at our church years ago. We were going to have the rebel shooting the Yankee and the Yankee shooting at the rebel. These youth conferences have a lot of crazy skits. We had a big balcony. And so the gunshots are being fired. About that time, we had one of the youth workers run up to the balcony and we had a stack of mattresses. He was going to throw a dummy off the balcony and he was going to miss the mattress. Real exciting. Well, I didn't realize they'd been practicing when I wasn't around, really jumping off the balcony. Where these kids think they're Hollywood stuntmen, I'll never know. So I'm sitting on the platform, and about that time, the shooting's going, and we see the guy running, and finally, he jumps. And a little old lady before church said, what's these mattresses doing here? And helped move him out of the way. And all I could see was my job flash before my eyes. I mean, excuse me, his life flash before my eyes. as he landed, wow, he hit that ground. And people, it was like, whoa, that was cool. Man, that looked for real. It was real. He missed the mattress, broke his back in the middle of the service, crawled out, an ambulance came and got him. Can you imagine how the results were that night? How'd the service go? 10 saved, 29 called to preach, and one broke back. That's a rough service. How was church? Someone broke their back in church. That's a rough church. Yeah, I've been discouraged. I remember years ago when it just kind of seemed like everything was going on at once at our church. We lived in the church parsonage. And so every time people needed something, they knocked on our door. Can you imagine working at Walmart and living in the Walmart parking lot? So every morning I woke up and I was there. I never could get away. We started a building project and ran out of money. So those buildings were just saying, work on me. Work on me. One lady had given $26,000 to repave the parking lot. Then the next week I got a letter from a lawyer saying, we're suing you. It was not her money. So I was being sued, lived on the church parking lot. About that time we had twins. And they were awake every hour on the hour. We were sleep deprivated. I preached on hell 16 Sunday mornings in a row and enjoyed it. About that time we had a neighbor that declared war on us. So every time we had church, he called the police and said they're disturbing the peace. So the police were knocking on our door at all hours. About that time I was in a car wreck. I lost my car. About that time I came down with meningitis. The doctor said you'll be very sick and maybe die, or you may be crippled the rest of your life. About that time, had to fire one of our staff members. Just about that time, we had a church member that was going through marital problems that took their life. One Sunday in the choir, the next week, his funeral. That week, I got a letter in the church mailbox. Here's what it said. What kind of pastor are you? Your church members kill themselves. Why don't you go back to Louisiana where you came from? We don't want you here. And all of those things were going on about the same time. And I'll be honest, as I was hanging on to that pole, trying to keep my pole in the water, it got very shaky. Very shaky. But I sensed another pair of hands around mine. Amen. Like Brother Casey saying, there is an unseen hand. There is. And he just kind of assured me, you just hang on and there's some blessings coming upstream. By the way, since that time, Casey Trudell got saved and you've seen what's happened in his life. Since that time, we have a missionary from our church now in China and in Bolivia and in Chile. And they started churches around America. God looked down and said, you just keep your pole in the water. I got some miracles I want to do in that church. Sometimes we just get discouraged. Why do we take them out? I must hasten. We get our eyes on other people. Well, we tithe and we got laid off. They don't tithe and they got a raise. They don't serve the Lord. They got a brand new car. We serve the Lord. Our car got repossessed. You ever compared your life to somebody else's? Heard about this fellow. He was at the mall. He'd never been to America. He was from an Asian country. Him and his son and his wife were walking through a mall. They'd never seen anything like it. Thank God for the benches at the mall for us men. And he was sitting on the bench with his son. His wife was shopping. And he had never seen this, but it was a silver door. It opened up and people came out. People got on. It closed. They disappeared. He saw a family get on. It closed, disappeared. He saw an elderly woman get on that room. It closed, opened up, and a beautiful blonde came out. The dad looked at his son and said, son, go get your mother quick. Tell you what'll make you pull your pole out. Comparison. Everyone's different. Everyone's situation's different. Not only that, quickly, our eyes on others. Comparisons, unfulfilled expectations. Well, I never thought it would be this way. Now, listen, some of you in a brand new church, You're on the outside looking in. And when you came to this church, it's everyone must be perfect but us. Wow, we're the only ones that's not perfect. We're the only ones that have problems. And the closer you get to other people, soon you find out they got difficulties, they got problems, they got hurts, they have heartaches, their flesh and your flesh. Don't be disappointed! Expect nothing, and then life is a bonus. One time in church, I said something like this: anything better than hell is bonus. I said, you got a car that doesn't crank? Better than hell. We all deserve hell. You don't have air conditioning in your house? Better than hell. You didn't pass your class this year? It's better than hell. When I said that, I had this guy visiting with his girlfriend. I saw him move his mouth. And as soon as I was saying that, he looked at her and said, you're better than hell. And I don't think they're married today. Why do we pull them out quickly? Impatient. We just get impatient. Well, I hadn't had a bite in a long time. Just going to pull it out. You know, Abraham was a little bit impatient, wasn't he? God says, I'm going to give you a child. He said, well, we hadn't had kids and I'm 99 and I'm going to pull it up and I'll just have a child with Hagar. That's where we get the Arab race. And you can thank him for the gas prices being $4 a gallon. Thank you, Abraham, for pulling your pole out of the water. Impatient. John Praying Hyde, the great missionary to India, said this: if the heart be right and the motives be pure, the blessings of God cannot be withheld, only delayed. Only delayed. So what's some areas we need to just keep the pole in the water? And here we go. Someone says, Pastor, I wish you'd take your pole out of the water so we can go home. Here's the areas quickly here. Prayer. Yeah. Prayer. Just keep your pole in the water. Is it something you used to pray for that you no longer pray for? Is it someone you used to ask God, would you save so-and-so? Would you save so-and-so? And they never got saved, so we just stopped praying for them. Is it that hell has no fire anymore? Is it God's grace has run out? Why did we quit praying? It just took a while. It was D.L. Moody, they said, had a list of three of his unsaved friends in his pocket, prayed for them 30 years before they ever got saved. Two got saved before he got passed. One got saved after he passed. He never gave up praying for them. We have a lady in our church, Mrs. Brown, Jackie Brown, has taught Sunday school 45 years. I've been the pastor of our church 26. She's come to our church, I think, 23 years by herself. 23 years her husband wouldn't come. 23 years she had taught and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then one day, her husband Dewey comes to church. One day, her husband Dewey gets baptized. She said, it was worth it all these years. Amen. Keep your pole in the water in the area of praying quickly. Keep it in the water in the area of just faithfulness. Anyone can be faithful. Now, there's a... you'll have to help me with this. There's a body of water. Let me see. It's a geyser. Somewhere here in California, I think. It's somewhere. No, it's not California. But it shoots up out of the ground. And it comes up the same time. It's not the biggest one. It's not the longest one. But they set their clocks to it. It's a national attraction. It's real old. What do you call it? Old Faithful. Now, why would people line up to see water squirt up out of the ground? Same time, same place, same day, all the time. You can count on it. You can count on it. That's what's made that thing famous. You know, every one of us ought to be Old Faithful around this church. It ought to be the doors are open. They know you're coming in. 40 years from now when you get old. And you finally find your seat and they say, you're dismissed. You're there. You know, it just ought to be when a backslider leaves church and they waste their life and they come back in this building, they know they'll see you there. That's who they look for. That's why people say, Brother Steve's still there. That's why when someone comes that hadn't been in years and our teenagers come back from Bible college, they sit down and they're looking. There she is. There he is. There she is. They're looking for security. Who was it? The prodigal son. When he wasted his life in the hog pen, he said, how many of my father's servants, hired servants, I have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger. Guess who he thought about in the hog pen? Those that were back home. Tonight, there's people that are wasting their lives on drugs or messed up on alcohol or sleeping off a hangover or wasting their life who used to be here. Guess what they're thinking about tonight? Wonder who's speaking Monday night. I saw the cars. I wonder how that new building is. I hadn't got to go inside it yet. Man, I wonder how many are running now. I wonder who's getting saved. And maybe pride has stopped them from dropping in, but they're thinking about you. Keep your pole in the water. And the area of faithfulness, they said of Jose Canseco. I hate to even mention his name. Played for the Oakland A's. They were considering putting him in the Hall of Fame of baseball. And they said, no, we're not going to do it. He was not great long enough. Not great long enough. Faithfulness. Quickly here, soul winning. Just in the area of soul winning. With a man years ago before when I first got to Napa, and they called him Snake Man. His name was Tom Quinga. He had hair down to his waist, Filipino man. He had a barber shop. They called him Snake Man because he owned 99 snakes. That would kind of make it like a kind of like a snake man. He owned black mambas, cobras, rattlesnakes, boa constrictors. He would take a 17-foot python, bring it out in the city park to sun it. Ladies would grab their children screaming, ah! Snake Man. He'd walk around town with that python on his neck or one of his pythons. He had cut hair. He got saved at our church. We started teaching on soul winning. He said, Pastor, I want to learn how to win souls. We taught on it a couple weeks later. He said, Pastor, I had three saved this week. I said, Tom, you had three saved this week? God bless you. Wonderful. Next week he said, I had another one saved. I said, good for you, Tom. Next week, had a couple saved. I said, Tom, tell me about it. He said, well, it's real easy. He says, you know, I cut their hair and then I lather them up to shave them. And I'll take my straight razor on the men and just say, if I was to slip right now and cut your throat and you bled to death, would you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? He said, Pastor, they're just getting saved just like that. I said, Tom, that's not the way you do it. But that's what he was doing. Just keep the pole in the water. He said, well, I've never won anyone yet. You know, you passed out enough of these and someone will say, what's this mean? Tell me about it. I've been in front of Jamba Juice before and just said, Jamba? 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 And people have come up, I'll take one. I'll take one. I didn't get one. Hey, he didn't get one. Can I get one? And they thought it was a coupon or something like that. It's a wonderful thing. Knocked on the door one time, and this lady was just real adamant, kind of staring at me, Miguel, like this. And she's looking through the curtain. I said, I'm the pastor from the church. Talking to her through the window. She just glared. I said, the pastor from the church. The pastor from the church. Just that glare. I got closer. It's a mannequin. I'm inviting a mannequin to church. You know, it's nothing like it. Nothing like it. When we started our church in Oakland 7 years ago, we had a guy. He had I had a glass of tea in this guy with an afro was coming out of this deuce and a quarter, this Lectra 225 Buick, and he's walking over to this truck. It was like a hippie van, and he kind of leans his head in this real nice car, and I just walked up and said, we're inviting everyone to church. When I did, a handful of money flew up in the air. Money's just flying everywhere in that car, and bags of white powder. I didn't know what they were. You'd know what they were, but this white powder is everywhere, and he's running. And I'm realizing, you know, it's a drug deal. So I said, we have a Reformers Unanimous addictions program too. There's no life like it.
Nope. Nope.
But you're going to have to keep your pole in the water. Well, I never want anyone. Well, keep witnessing. Someone will get saved. What a guy saved in our church. Raider Nation. Tattooed to his face. A guy led to Christ this week, got his first tattoo, it looked like Mick Jagger's mouth, just his tongue sticking out right here on his chest. Someone asked me a while back, they said, can we come to your church if we have a tattoo? I said, it's a requirement. When we get to the place, everyone has a three-piece suit, no tattoos, no problems, no piercings, no messed up kids. We're not reaching anybody. Just keep your pole in the water, not only that quickly, in child rearing. Keep the pole in the water. Well, my kids, as long as they're breathing, there's hope. Well, I don't know what to do. Just keep the pole in the water. There were times I would come home from soul winning as the pastor and walk in my house and my wife would say, it's your turn. I beat these kids to death all day. All I'm doing is spanking them. I said, give me that paddle. And so then I watched Monday Night Football. That's what I did. So child rearing, quickly, faith. Just faith. The whole Christian life is all about faith. I must hasten quickly. Giving. Giving. The pastor, we tithe. We're still in debt. Join the crowd. Just keep your pole in the water. Well, we don't have a lot to give. Just be faithful. Years ago, when a missionary, Brian Stensis, came to our church from Uganda, Africa. Brother Stensis told us, he said, if we had a radio tower, we could broadcast to 5 million Ugandans. And most of our nation is dying of AIDS. We've got to reach them. I said, how much would that radio tower cost? He was speaking in our church. He said, $1,300. Just immediately, I stood up and said, I'll give the first 300. Someone said, I'll give 100, I give 100, give 2. And about 10 seconds, 1,300 was raised. People were angry that we didn't want their money because someone else had already volunteered it. Several years later, he comes back to the church. I hear him tell the story. He said, we're in Uganda. Our radio tower's been up for years. Someone said, Brother Stensis, would you come to our church and our village? We've never seen a white man. We've never had a missionary. Would you come preach at our church? He said, I'll come to your village. I don't know about church. Man, how would you have a church? So he's traveling. He says, now, no white man's ever been here. No missionary's ever been here. Yeah, come see our church that we built. He says, you have a church? Came into the village and they had built a church. He said, God bless you. They said, come on in and meet our pastor. He said, I didn't think you had a missionary here. And I didn't, no, we don't. And they said, come meet our pastor. And there was a stump of wood with a radio on top of it. They said, come meet our pastor, Brian Stensis. He said, I'm Brian Stensis. They said, we heard your broadcast. Our whole village got saved. You said we need to go to church. We built a church. We don't have a pastor. We listen to you every Sunday morning. So guess who gave in that offering? Our church gave in that offering and sacrificed. And people in Uganda have been saved because someone just kept their pole in the water. I'm done with this. If you could have interviewed Jesus on the cross and said, Jesus, tell us really, why are you still on the cross? Maybe he'd have said, I'm just keeping my pole in the water. Our friend, Brother Steve, is... Well, let me just tell... Oh, here, I got three stories. Do we have time for this? Short story. Short. I got saved in my living room when I was 12, almost 13, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My parents moved when I was off at college, about 19 years of age. So I never got to see the home place again. My brother got my bicycle. He got all the games, got my baseball glove, all that kind of stuff. You know, whoever's left gets the stuff. So anyway, I never got to come back and kind of say goodbye to the house. Years later, I'm driving through the old neighborhood. I'm in Louisiana, and I said, look at that. There's some new renters moving into that house that we don't own anymore. I remember stopping. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I used to live here. Is there any chance I could maybe just walk through the house? She said, oh, it's a mess. We're just moving in. I said, that's fine. I pastor a church in California now. She said, well, it's fine. I remember walking through the house, seeing that tiny kitchen where we used to eat. Walking in, seeing the bathtub. Your parents know what I'm talking about. Things get little the older you get. it used to be the Sea of Cortez. I remember having a mask and flippers and swimming in that bathtub. Looking at that little bathtub, seeing my little bedroom where I used to pray, seeing my parents' bedroom, seeing my brother's room, just as messy as it always was. And I was witnessing to the lady the whole time. I finished up. I said, "Ma'am, could I just show you from the Bible how to go to heaven?" She said, "Sure." Went through the gospel at the table. I said, "Would you like to pray and receive Christ?" She said, "I would." I said, "Would you like to kneel in the spot that I knelt?" I said, "36 years ago, I knelt right here and I got saved." She said, "I would." And I cannot help but imagine when she knelt, Jesus looked down and said, "Father, I remember this spot. That's where I met Mike Ray 36 years ago and saved him." You know, God's still in the saving business. You just keep your pole in the water. Okay, we're done. Here it is. Brother Steve, you remember? It's Brother Steve. Is Brother Steve still there? Okay. Brother Steve had always been our amen fella. Now, there's always somebody in church you can count on to amen the sermons. You know, I'd say, "Open your Bible, Brother Steve. Amen. Amen." And I'd say, "Everyone ought to be a tither. Amen." You know, that's him. Now, folks, if you amen, amen at the right time. You know, if your pastor says, "The pastor does not need a raise," don't say, "Amen. Shut up. We're just talking." But make sure you amen at the right time. So Brother Steve would always be the amen fella. Kept that service. Man, it was lively. But I noticed Brother Steve never amened when I preached on heaven and when I preached on hell. That's odd, Miguel. I sat down and had a talk with him. I said, "Brother Steve, are you okay?" He said, "Pastor, everything's great." I said, "Let me just ask you something." I said, "You know, it's odd. You amen all the time, but you never amen when I mention heaven, and you never amen when I mention hell." I said, "Brother Steve, is there a problem? Is there some issue?" He said, "Pastor, you don't know this, but before you moved here, my mom and dad were hit by a drunk driver. Sent my mother through the windshield, killed my dad instantly. My family had never heard the gospel at that time. We're born and raised Catholic. Mother missed my dad's funeral. She was in the hospital in a coma. My dad never heard the gospel." He said, "So it's hard to amen about heaven knowing my dad's not there. And when you preach on hell, all I can imagine is my dad in the flames of fire." He said, "Pastor, it just tears me up." My heart was broken. Brother Steve has won thousands of people to Christ, but never could win his daddy. So forever, family in heaven, daddy in hell. Brother Steve just kept running his bus route, teaching Sunday school, preaching in junior church. One day a man from Kaiser Steel stopped by and said, "You Steve Guzman?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "We had some of your dad's tools at Kaiser Steel. We can't keep them. And he was killed years ago. We're just cleaning out lockers. And so here's his welding mask and here's his boots and a file or two." And he said, "We just want to drop this by." Steve put it in the garage. Years later, started going through that box, pulled out his dad's boots, pulled out a welding mask, pulled out a file. At the very bottom of the box, he found a little New Testament Bible. He knew it wasn't his dad's. He had never seen it. He opened up that Bible. Here's how it read. "Presented to Manny Guzman on the day you receive Christ as your Savior at work." Brother Steve would have never known had he not just kept his pole in the water. Close with this. I shared this message at a church in Dublin, not Ireland, but in California. Right before the evening service, Brother Bryson introduced me to a lady. He said, "Pastor Ray, I want you to meet this lady." He introduced her. He said, "Mrs. So-and-so is in her 90s. She started teaching Sunday school in a little country church when she was a teenager. She has taught Sunday school 75 years. She's no longer able because of her health, but I just wanted you to meet her. Boy, I bowed my head and I shook her hand. Not every day you meet someone taught Sunday school 75 years. At the end of the message, I gave the invitation. And I said, now some of you folks have taken your pole out of the water. It's time to put it in. Some of you never put your pole in the water. It's time to put it in. At the end of the service, she stepped out in the aisle and started coming forward. I saw her shuffling her feet. By about the time she got to the front, she looked up and did this. When a teacher who's taught 75 years does this, you better go down. Don't make her come up the stairs. It could take another hour. Anyway, but I got down there and I bent my ear over. She said, the preacher told you I taught Sunday school 75 years, didn't he? I said, yes, ma'am, and I'm so proud of you, and it's so humbling to meet you. She said, because of my health, I've not been able to teach in a long time. I said, yes, ma'am, and I understand. She said, tonight I'm deciding to put my pole back in the water. Let me ask you, where's yours right now? Is this yours right here? Sure is nice. Works real good. It doesn't work unless you put it in the water. Some of you young people need to say, man, it's time I became a soul winner. I've been a Christian 10 years, never won a soul, never taught a class, never sung a special. It's time some of you put the pole in the water. By the way, the thing I admire about your youth pastor, the first Sunday he came to our church, he was a visitor. Here's how his first Sunday was. Hi, I'm Casey Trudell. It's my first Sunday here. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. It's my first Sunday here. It sure is good to be here. You know, he's been like that ever since. He wasn't even saved and he's trying to put his pole in the water and do something for the Lord. Now, some of you used to have the pole in. Time to put it back in. Jesus is coming soon. I saw a bumper sticker. It was taped to someone's window. It said, act busy. Jesus is coming soon. It's time to get busy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege of serving thee. Thank you for parents and pastors and loved ones who have kept their pole in the water being patient for us. Thank you for godly examples, people through thick and thin and valleys and heartaches who we've watched with great admiration keep their poles in the water. It's always too soon to take it out. Thank you for keeping your pole in the water the years that I was lost and waiting on me. And some seasons when I was backslidden and cold. Thank you for just keeping your pole in the water and loving me. Help us to be patient with people. Someone said the blessings of God are just right upstream. Won't be long till they bite our pole. I pray you'd help us, Lord. And whatever reason, those have maybe pulled the poles out, help them get them back in. Those who've not had a bite in a long time, pray that they'd be patient. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a brief moment. Who's here this evening? Say, Pastor Ray, I'll be honest tonight. Just real honest. Here's the invitation. I used to have my pole in the water in some area. And in some area, maybe not all, in some area I've pulled it out of the water. I've just given up. Given up in some area, I've pulled it out. And tonight, God's telling me to put it back in. And with His help, I'm going to do that. With His help, would you slip that hand up just all over the building? In some area tonight, God has said, all right, put it back in that area. How about you? Thank you. You may lower them. One who's here tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm kind of a newer Christian. And I really can't say I've even put my pole in the water. I'm not a soul winner. I'm not a teacher. I don't work in the nursery. I just kind of come. It's time I got busy and put some of my gifts and abilities in the water tonight. Would you pray for me? It's time I jumped in and got involved. Would you slip that hand up just all over the building? All right. Thank you. Our heads are bowed before we pray. I wonder who's here tonight. You say, Pastor, I think my pole is in the water. But it's been a long, long time since I've got a bite. In some area. It's been a long time since that blessing has come. I don't want to give up. Don't want to be discouraged. But it's been a while. Would you pray that my pole gets bit real soon? Pray for me. Would you slip that hand up? I see hands all over tonight. God bless you. Thank you. You may lower them. God loves you tonight. The key is just faithfulness. That's the key. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. It doesn't always matter how many people come to the front. God sees our hearts. So in a moment, our pianist is going to come, and I'm going to ask them to play. Someone said there's two times a Christian needs to come to an altar. One, is when God speaks to your heart. Two, when God no longer speaks to your heart. I was at a leadership conference about a year ago. I'm sitting behind Patch the Pirate, the famous songwriter, the man that lost his eye to cancer. He's influenced millions of people around the globe. I watched him during the church service. And then I watched him during the invitation leave his seat, come and kneel at an altar. Patch the Pirate needed to go to the altar and pray. Wasn't long before I found myself at that same altar. Maybe you need to come tonight. Whatever the need, let's start the revival. We're only here two nights, tonight and tomorrow night. Maybe God wants to speak to your heart tonight. Father, would you bless now? Each of us do a mighty work that lasts. Our heads are bowed. Let's quietly stand. If you need to come, the piano's going to play at this time.